You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's up, Kings fans? If you haven't heard about Anchor by Spotify, it's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcast, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor, it's totally free. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
This is for you, Kings fans, wherever you may be. All the frustration and disappointment of the past is gone. The 45-year drought is over. The Los Angeles Kings are indeed the Kings of the National Hockey League. They are the 2012 Stanley Cup champions.
Cleared away by the Kings, picked up by Martinez. Martinez to Clifford, feet to the right side to Foley with a shot. Save, rebound, score! Alec Martinez has won the Stanley Cup for the Los Angeles Kings, and royalty reigns again in the NHL.
Hey, what's up, Kings fans, and welcome to the Hockey Royalty Podcast, the official podcast of HockeyRoyalty.com. Been waiting for a long time to say that. So, folks, before we get going into our show, we just want to make our announcement that we are now the HockeyRoyalty.com. We have left Ringside, or Rink Royalty, I'm sorry. We thank FanSided for the opportunity. FanSided owns Rink Royalty. But we've just decided that it's time for us to spread our wings and break out on our own. So, here we are. HockeyRoyalty.com is the official site for the Hockey Royalty Podcast. Hope you enjoy. Anyways, for our new venture, you can find us on social media. You can find us on Twitter at @Hockey_Royalty. And for the pod, you can find us at @Royalty_Pod. And on Facebook, you can find us at Hockey Royalty, and we will be expanding our social media presence as well. So with that said, let's get on with the show. Before we bring in our guest for tonight, I want to bring in our panel. My usual partners in crime are with me tonight here. First of all, the man who's just drives our website. This guy is the transmission in the car that is known as HockeyRoyalty.com. Without him, the car does not run. So I want to bring him in right now. Mr. Ryan Sykes, what's happening, pal?
I think the transmission's going backwards, Scott. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm real good. Real excited for the show tonight, as you can tell, right?
And our new venture.
Exactly. I'm a little more wound up than usual, so just be warned. So.
Oh, God.
Yeah, get ready. Anyways, along with us as well, as usual, is our analytics expert here at HockeyRoyalty.com. He is the king of Fenwick, the Prince of Corsi. He is the one, the only, Mr. Russell Morgan. What's happening, Russ?
Good. It's good to be here, and we're excited for HockeyRoyalty.com.
Absolutely. You know, don't be surprised if I actually explode on this episode. I'm so excited. So, just keep an eye on it, guys, all right? We're not going to talk about that. Anyways, I want to bring in our guests for tonight. Our guests are the guys who run the Puck Lines podcast. They're big Boston Bruins fans, and they're very knowledgeable hockey guys as well. I'm going to bring in Mr. Connor Green and Andrew Taverna from the Puck Lines podcast. How you doing, guys?
Great, man. I'm glad to be here. I know a lot of people can't see the video, but I started to feel a little in my feelings, so I went and I got myself a koozie to match y'all.
Yes. Excellent. Because, you know, I'm going to tell you, so I didn't tell you this before, but for this podcast, drinking is not only welcome, it's encouraged. So.
Oh, well then now I'm doing even better. Now I'm great.
There you go. I mean, you're blending right in now, pal. Andrew, how are you?
I am living the dream. Thank you for having us on. I'm excited to talk some hockey tonight.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, you came to the right place. Let me tell you that. So, so let's get started. So how did you guys get going with the Puck Lines podcast?
So, I am what you would define probably as a degenerate gambler. so I like to bet on hockey. It's something I've enjoyed for quite a while. I guess I'll give my plug for this here. Commonwealth of Massachusetts, get it together and legalize sports gambling, please, so I can stop driving over the border to New Hampshire. Good news is I only live 7 minutes away. But yeah, so big hockey bettor. I decided, you know, I'd rather talk about it and give people some advice and get to talk about hockey in general. And I enjoy hanging out with Connor. So gives us something to do once a week.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How about you, Connor? What's your story?
Well, to be honest with you, I've just been a longtime hockey nerd and fan and had been interested in doing a podcast for quite a while. And I think, what is it now? 2 months ago, I stumbled across Andrew on Twitter looking for a partner in crime and hopped in on it. And we've been taking off ever since.
That's really cool, man, because I mean, that, you know, just to preface everything, I got to know these guys because they invited me to be on the Puck Lines podcast. And I had so much fun with them. I'm like, you guys got to come on our show. This is a great time. So, and by the way, this time, guys, I'm not at work, so I won't have to leave you like right in the middle of the show. So
that's all right. The problem is I'm just not a very good editor. So me trying to figure out how to handle that situation was, I was up late that night.
Yeah, sorry about that. That's my fault. I owe you one.
You guys are underneath the black and gold hockey umbrella though, right?
Correct. Yep. So we're part of the Black and Gold Hockey podcast network.
Okay.
So we've got 9 shows on our network, and it's a great time. So if you're ever looking for any of us, check us out at blackandgoldhockey.com because there's a lot of good content there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've checked it out before. It's not just Bruins. I mean, I've seen general NHL stuff on there too. So that's really good. That's excellent.
During the season, you can come see some horrible hockey betting takes too.
Hey, there you go.
Save your money, folks.
That's awesome. So we have a pretty big week coming up next week. We're going to start it off. Was it the 21st, July 21st, next coming Wednesday with the expansion draft. Seeing there's starting to be some small minor moves being made already in preparation for that draft. And I believe the trade freeze is Saturday. So once Saturday hits, they're not going to be able to make any more moves in advance of the expansion draft. But of course, once the expansion draft is over, let the games begin. So with that said, what are you guys' thoughts on the Bruins situation for the expansion draft? Anybody you think they're going to lose?
Well, I'm pretty dead set on Jeremy Lauzon. Because, I mean, the Bruins are going to protect Brandon Carlo, who they just signed, Matt Grizzlick, and then, of course, Charlie McAvoy. Duh. And Jeremy Lauzon is probably the next best defenseman in the list. And it doesn't help that the Providence Bruins head coach, Jay Leach, just jumped ship to be an assistant with Seattle.
Do you think the Bruins are going with the 4-4 method, or excuse me, the 8 skaters method, or the 7-3-1?
7-3-1.
Okay. Yeah, I think they've got to protect Vladar.
Gotcha. I only asked because Kings went with the 8 skaters for the Vegas draft.
Yeah, which I it'd be interesting to me to see them do that because I think naturally right now Bruins fans are – so Jeremy Swayman's the guy that every Bruins fan thinks is kind of next in line for the crease. I still don't think you can get – if you put Dan Vladar out into the expansion draft, I think he would go. And I don't think you can afford that as an organization right now with our goalie depth.
Right, right. So you pretty much think it's a foregone conclusion that Tuukka or Yaroslav Halak are not coming back?
Halak's gone, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah,
he yeah. had a really piss-poor attitude once Jeremy Swayman came on the scene and kind of took over as Rask backup and then was actually getting a lot more starts. Halak did, you know, ride some pine because of COVID. So I kind of get where he's coming from. You hate to see a guy lose a job because of injury or illness. But at the same time, his attitude within the locker room afterwards was pretty apparent, and they made it pretty obvious that he's not coming back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's too bad. But, I mean, I got to imagine he can catch out with another team. I mean, there's always going to be a team that's looking for a depth goaltender, you know? So, I don't know, guys. What do you think? Is this going to be a crazy expansion draft like it was with Vegas, with everybody just throwing assets at Vegas to stay away from certain players? Or do you think that the GMs this time have learned their lesson?
Well, I think it could be even more chaos than last time.
Do you think so?
Yeah, so I don't think that Seattle is going to make a lot of deals. They might make three, maybe four deals, but they don't want to take a lot of big contracts on. They're going to try and stay right at the minimum. But I think Detroit is going to be the team to watch because they have a ton of salary cap space and virtually nobody on their team except for one or two players assigned past next season. So they could go big boy spending and be somebody who, you know, say you want to move a $7 to $8 million player. You can trade them through Detroit. They can retain part of the salary and then send them on their way, or just toss them some prospects and picks to just take the full contract away.
Well, and there was a report that Seattle was going to try to push the limit in terms of the cap. Like they were going to try to spend as close to the $81.5 million right out of the gate.
That was actually the owner who said that they are not restricted from spending to the cap, but that doesn't necessarily that they will right away. I'm skeptical. I feel like they could just get to the floor and then leave everybody completely handcuffed and then rob people in deals and spend the rest of their cap space.
Mm-hmm. Which I mean, I think it's sort of what Vegas said. Yeah, I was going to say exactly, right? I mean, so one of two things happens in this expansion draft. They either follow the Vegas model to almost a T because it's recent enough that they can, and the NHL knows how to handle that. And let's all be honest, the GMs, it's a little bit of an old boys club, right? There's certain things they do and don't want to do. Or they're just going to come out with a completely different strategy and go with absolute chaos. I personally hope they choose absolute chaos because it makes having a podcast a little bit easier. But
yeah, right.
I think they'll probably follow the Vegas model more than I'd like.
Yeah, I think what we're going to see in the expansion draft, I don't think we're going to see a lot of deals moves through Seattle. I think we're going to see, like we just saw today, right before we hopped on, is deals being made by teams and players that they are already expected to lose, with Colorado trading Ryan Graves to the New Jersey Devils. I mean, they were fully expecting to lose Graves to Seattle in the expansion draft, but now they're figuring, oh, well, why don't we just make a deal, get a second round pick and another prospect for him instead of losing him for nothing.
Yep. Whoa. And I just saw this. Seth Jones. Oh, wow.
What?
Twitter troll. I said, Jesus, I just saw a trade that somebody started retweeting where, and I didn't read it all the way, but it says Seth Jones going to Chicago for Kirby Dach. And then when I got to this next part where it said, and Caleb Jones, I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense to trade his brother back the other way.
You got to watch those trolls.
Right, there it is.
Oh, yeah. Look, they even tried to give him a blue check mark.
Yeah.
That's great.
I was trying to look for that Ryan Graves trade because, honestly, I hadn't seen that yet. I missed right over that.
Look at that.
Yeah, that just
response.
Happened before we
I literally had no idea who you are.
Yeah, Ryan Graves to the Devils for a second-round pick, and I think it was – I forget his name, but Mikhail Maslev. I might be butchering that name, but
yeah, it's close to that, Russell.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Graves was actually a player I thought the Kings would look after. He's a significant, pretty good top four left shot D man. He led the league in plus minus just 2 years ago. So, but he's more of a shutdown player. I know the Kings are looking for more of a puck mover. So, but yeah, I think that's a deal. Right. Those are the type of deals we're going to be seeing.
Kind of similar to the Kings picking up Arvidsson for the second and the third round pick.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah, for sure.
What'd you guys think of that deal, by the way?
Well, I'm confused and I'm conflicted. So the Kings are my West Coast team. And for me, I don't understand why the Kings, with all of this really young talent, is looking to go out and acquire an older player like Arvidsson, and they're attached to most of the significant rumors of free agents and trades for players that you would think you're adding to your team if you know you're a contender. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, you know, the thing is, though, too, they needed some established talent. That's the team as it is. And Rob Blake came right out and said it. Wasn't good enough to make the playoffs, obviously.
Yeah.
Right? And the thing is, the prospects, as excited as everybody is about them, A, still need some time to percolate. I mean, some of them just simply aren't ready yet. And B, and it's an unfortunate thing, and this is what I was talking earlier about, Connor, is not every prospect pans out at the NHL level. Not every prospect is going to be a first line or a second line winger, center, or first pair defenseman. It's just reality. And as much as I would want it, and as much as we would love to see it happen, it's most likely not going to happen. So, I mean, I actually like the move. You know, they didn't give up any prospects to get Arvidsson. It was just a few draft picks, or a couple draft picks, sorry. But, you know, they're loaded with draft picks anyway. So how many more prospects are you going to load up in the system? Because you're going to run out of room. They already are running out of room for them. So they had to do something.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Kings and the Bruins are in different situations, but I don't think either team should be hesitant to get rid of draft picks. You guys have a ton of prospects. We have a GM that doesn't know what the NHL draft is. So, like, you know, he's not really sure what he's doing there. Cam Neely's pretty much whispering in his ear, I really like that guy. And he's going, oh, yeah, okay. He's 80 spots down the board. Great, let's do it.
I think any Bruins fan.
Hey, you're supposed to be at the draft.
I think any Bruins fan who looks at the Kings prospect pool and says, nah, I wouldn't want that. They are high off their rocker.
Well, we are in Massachusetts. All is fine.
Yeah, right.
Well, Scott,
yeah,
exactly, Scott, right. You kind of nailed it on the head in the first part. I mean, like, I think the goal next year is to make the playoffs, and I think they can do that in this Pacific division that's not overly talented. You know?
Yeah.
I think they can do it. They line their top six forwards full of established players and kind of round out the bottom six with prospects that are kind of getting their feet wet and kind of moving up towards that top six. You know, I tweeted out today, the Kings scored two or less goals in 31 of 56 games last year.
Yeah, it's hard to win games that way.
So, I mean, come on.
That's
it. You add a few more there and they could sneak into a playoff spot.
Yeah, that's the whole key right there.
So I have a really hard time.
Yeah, sorry, just real quick, Connor. They're not going to obviously contend for the Stanley Cup next year, but I think fans want to start seeing some progress in the right direction. You know, even in a shortened season, they're kind of like, well, I don't know, we saw some prospects come up, but, you know, they're still pretty bad.
Yeah. Actually, I would have liked to see more of them at the NHL level this past season. Yeah. But that's, yeah, I know. It is what it is.
Ryan's comment about the fill your top six with the veterans and then kind of fill your prospects in the bottom. Andrew and I had recently had a conversation about this, and I think that is like such an awful idea. So when I look at the Bruins organization, when I think about this, but they draft all these players who they're picking and projecting to play in their top six, but they fill it with the established long-term veterans. And then they put all those prospects on the third and fourth line, which is, you know, puck possession and a checking line. They can't play the game that they were drafted for. and they have to adapt and play that different game. And then when the time comes,
right,
they can't pull the trigger. I mean, recently, look at Ryan Donato, Anders Bjork on the Bruins. They were all supposed to be top six talent. And none of them could ever produce because all they could ever get is third and fourth line time.
For our listeners, Connor's just used air quotes on those guys.
Yeah. So I don't know. I would feel like if I was a Kings fan, I wouldn't want that to happen to one of my big prospects. Because you guys are loaded with high end prospects.
Yeah, and that's a concern. You're right. It really is. But it's kind of, what do you do? Right. I mean, if they're not ready, they're not ready, but you also have to be able to kind of stop easing them in after a while and say, okay, you're in, let's see what you can do. Go for it. Right.
Well, I mean, they did that. Really with, they did that with Vilardi the last year, given him the 2C position. He didn't look ready for it.
And that is part of the problem, right? Like, So I'm with Connor, obviously, right? Him and I have had a lot of conversations around this. My feeling on this is pretty straightforward. Put two veterans and one rookie, right? Or a young guy, a prospect, who you can have picked up by the other two when it hits the fan, right? Like, that's really what you want to be doing. Now, not every team and organization is built that way. It's a little bit of a, you'd like that, but it's not always realistic. I think, though, that's the ideal build, is you give one prospect the time on that second line and hope the other two can cover for him when he screws up.
You know, I got a great solution for that for you guys then. If you want to have two veterans and one prospect, trade us Pastrnak or Marchand, right? And we'll send a prospect back to you. And there you go. It's perfect. Right.
They all set.
Scott said too much to drink.
A conditional seventh round pick.
Yeah, future considerations.
You know, Scott, the last time I talked to you, you were trying to get McAvoy. You and I, we're not going to be able to be friends soon.
I mean, I might give you Marchand for Quentin Byfield one for one.
What do you think about Jake DeBrusk? No, I don't. What's his value?
You can have him.
So
his value is a bag of pucks.
He didn't hesitate there either.
If you're in the Boston market and you're following Boston Bruins hockey, he is worse than a dumpster raccoon. Outside of Boston, it doesn't seem that his stock is that low. Like, even looking at what I've seen today coming out in the rumor mill in Boston, is things are starting to heat up with Jake DeBrusk to Edmonton for what sounds like Ethan Bear.
Oh.
Yeah. So I said,
and what else? There's no way they're doing that one for one.
Those are the main pieces. There hasn't been any word about
Keith trade.
Yeah, they just got the corpse of Duncan Keith.
Yep. That's true. But for ownership in Edmonton, that deal looks great because he's only getting paid like $1.6 million this year and $2.4 million the following, even though he's a $5 million AAV.
Right. Of course, they still have to put him on the ice too. That's part of the deal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, give me the details on DeBrusk, because he had goals in the first two games, right, of the playoffs.
Yeah, like, DeBrusk is going to be a guy that's going to work out really well for another team. I think two things happened. One, I think he lost his confidence, and I think during pandemic hockey, he's a social guy. He likes that team camaraderie. It's important to him. It helps drive him. And from what you hear, it's almost an effort issue. Not even attitude, but effort. Like, he just didn't put in the effort.
Broken and
I think that with the coaching staff just didn't jive well. Like, Bruce Cassidy's a big effort guy. Go out there and screw up, fine, but try. Mm-hmm. And DeBrusk doesn't always try, right?
That's
so, like,
that's from what I can tell, Todd McClellan's kind of the same. He's like, you know, we want effort. We'll help you through those mistakes. You know, as long as you're showing effort, that's fine.
Right, exactly. And I think what happened there is he didn't show the effort. And I mean, because Bruce Cassidy in his end of season presser was basically like, yeah, we're going to have to sit down and talk about what his future looks like.
And find some air quotes,
common ground.
Oh boy.
Yeah. When your coach
is never good.
All right.
Yeah.
It's over. It's over. Jake DeBrusk. Yeah. It was lovely having you. It's like a good date, right? Like, hey, we had a great time. I really enjoyed seeing you. I never want to see you again. That's what this is.
Maybe if the Bruins trade him away, the 2015 draft will just forget to be, you know, existence at that point.
Stop it. We're not talking about the 2015 draft.
Like 2013.
I was going to say, I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk about 2015 draft. I don't want to talk about Milan Lucic. I don't want to talk about any of it. Okay.
Hey, my Milan Lucic tweet did great, even though nobody clearly read it.
Yeah,
I said that we should love that. We should get Milan Lucic, bring him to Boston, and only have him play games against the corpse of Buffalo. I don't need him to ever play another game. Just play against Buffalo so you can continue to haunt them.
Oh, man, that's great. That is great. But, you know, it's funny. You mentioned that with Jake DeBrusk about, you know, it appears he lost his confidence. And Ryan mentioned Gabe Vilardi. Honestly, that's a very good parallel right there, because it kind of looked like at times last season that Gabe Vilardi just lost his confidence. I mean, you know, it just – and you can see it on his face, right? I mean, he was – you could just tell the guy was down. There was no doubt about it. So, you know, hopefully for Gabe, I mean, he's able to, you know, recharge his batteries this offseason. And I think it's going to do him a world of good having some of the other guys from the prospects coming up through, because A, that's going to be a little bit of competition for him, right? A little bit of a motivator.
It's going to push him for sure.
Absolutely. And if it turns out that he's got to go to the wing, then that's not the worst thing in the world either. You know, so, I mean, the kid's talented, unbelievably talented, but again, like you guys just said with DeBrusk, I mean, and I don't even think it was an effort problem with Vilardi. It was just, like I said, nothing was going right. Nothing was really going right for the team except for, well, February. February was nice to be a Kings fan. But other than that,
it wasn't pretty. Nice.
That was our Stanley Cup right there. But and we didn't even dent it. But it's
yeah, no kidding. That thing gets mangled. Holy cow.
Well, it's part of its charm, right?
No, but like towards the end of the season, Vilardi played really well with Iafallo and Elias Anderson on the second line.
Yeah.
And that's the bad thing about Jake DeBrusk. He doesn't play well with anybody at this point. I mean, he played with Charlie Coyle on the third line. Okay, it didn't work out there. But he's played almost his entire NHL career with David Krejci. And he still couldn't make it happen with David Krejci. Then you put David Krejci with Craig Smith and Taylor Hall. And all three of them are going bananas. And there was actually a good bit of time this season where they had Smith, Krejci, and Hall, or Smith, Krejci, and DeBrusk, excuse me, as a line. And DeBrusk still couldn't figure it out. So it just feels like at this point they're going to put a bow on it and he's going to be packing his bags and headed out west.
Well, you know, it's too bad too, because I was all on that, you know, getting Jake DeBrusk trained, but now you guys just basically talked me out of it.
I appreciate they did say he's going to play better elsewhere.
Yeah. We both think that he will.
He is. No. I actually think whatever team gets him is actually going to probably get a great player. Like, I think he's got a lot of potential. I mean, if he can stop eating fast food and drinking only Gatorade and
playing Fortnite all night,
like, and he puts in the effort into the game, he'll be a great player.
Andrew, are you talking about Jake DeBrusk or me?
No. See, this is what I tell people. It's okay for you and I to do that, right? Like, hey, Wendy's drive-thru, pleasure to see you again. But you play professional hockey, Jake. You can't be there with me.
Yeah, it's pretty sad with the guys going, your usual, sir? You know?
Yeah, exactly. So that's the wrong size, so Frosty.
It's funny. Yeah, right? Yeah. You know I like the vanilla ones. Come on, what's the matter with you? But anyways, so you guys were talking about David Krejci, and I know he's hitting unrestricted free agency, if I'm not mistaken. So my question to you guys is he going to come back to Boston? And apparently there's some pretty big news coming out for Taylor Hall, correct?
Yeah. So it looks like Taylor Hall is going to re-sign somewhere between $5.5-6 million.
Andrew,
probably
going
to be in the 4 to 5 years. Andrew is a huge Taylor Hall contract signing hater. He wants to fight it and fight it until he sees the proof. He's a skeptic.
I'm not trying to fight it. It's just I listened to him in Arizona say it's not about the money. I'm going to go somewhere I can win and then sign with Buffalo.
Buffalo, yeah. One year, $9 million.
Just listen. Show me the pay. Listen, I want him. I want him here. I want him to be a Bruin. I even want him to be a Bruin with term. I don't believe it until I see it.
Gotcha. I wasn't sure. I was like, how can you not be a fan of what he did?
No. Big fan. Just don't believe him.
Until he didn't show up in the playoffs. Then we were kind of like,
Hey, in all fairness to him, he doesn't even know what the playoffs are.
That is true.
I was going to say that.
Anyway. Yeah, right.
I don't want to be mean.
He just needs to find a place where he can call home. Once he gets a contract that's long term, and he knows that's where he's going to be, I think he'll succeed. I mean, he's a former MVP,
right?
He just needs to find that place.
He's always wanted to come to Boston. Mm-hmm. Like even around that draft when the Bruins got Sagan, he wanted to be passed up so he could go to Boston, and that was well known.
Yeah, so, he has always wanted to be in Boston, but when somebody comes with the checkbook and says, I'll give you $3 million more a year, he's going to go, oh, Boston who? And he's going to disappear off into the night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you that, even for a $6 million AAV is an excellent deal. Really?
Yeah,
I don't know how the Bruins do this on a regular basis. Get these guys to take these low ball contracts.
The Carlo contract they just got him to sign. Unreal. Listen, like I said earlier, Don Sweeney doesn't know what the NHL draft is.
Nope.
But in terms of signing his own guys, he slips on that ski mask and he robs those fools blind every time. Every single time. Like, it is the one skill he has, and it's a highly valuable skill.
I don't think any other player that's come through the organization can look at Pastrnak, Marchand and Bergeron, who are all making in that $6 million range, in the eyeballs if they dare take more, except for apparently David Krejci, because he did it for the last like 5 or 6 years.
Thank you.
and to round back to the other half of that question for you, Scott, we haven't heard anything in Boston about David Krejci since the season ended. And it ended with a quote, even me and my mother don't know what the future holds, and we haven't heard anything since.
Yeah, if you're bringing mom into it, you know he's serious. Hi, mom. So,
yeah,
everybody's hopeful. I mean, I bet you Krejci could come back on a $4 million over 2 years. You know, 4 and 4. But outside of that, if he goes any higher, I think they walk.
They should.
Well, he's what, 36 years old. I think he's 36.
Somewhere around there.
Correct? Yep. Yeah, I believe he's 36.
So that is interesting. That's very interesting. So what I'm going to do, there has been some buyouts going on already. People getting ready for that expansion draft. So I'm going to throw a couple names out for you, and I want all you guys to let me know what you think. And the first one is going to be Keith Yandle, bought out by the Florida Panthers, the Iron Man himself. Ryan, where do you think he's going to be a fit?
Oh, me?
Yeah. You.
Boy, I don't know, Scott. That's my final answer, and I'm submitting it as that. I have no clue at all, because he was on a contender in Florida. I don't know. That's a tough call, man.
Yeah, it is. It really is. But I know our analytics king, Russell's got to have an answer for it.
He's going to go to somewhere where he can just be that offensive specialist, like a Tampa Bay or somewhere. I mean,
puke.
I think he was excelling in Florida until Ekblad got hurt. And then then all of a sudden he had to play a little bit more minutes. He was terrible in that Tampa Bay series.
Hold on. Did Russ just said he was excelling until Ekblad got hurt?
Yeah, he was doing well. His relative expected goal rate is actually really good.
Yeah, because he had Ekblad helping him.
That's what I'm saying. He was playing really well when Ekblad taking minutes. He didn't have to play as many minutes there. So, I mean, if you put him on a team, really short deal, low contract, like Tampa Bay, they always find a way to get a squeeze a player there. Or maybe he goes to Vegas. Who knows? I mean, Vegas is going to be trying to squeeze in anybody they can.
Oh, boy.
With Martinez out, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't know. You think he'd want to go to another contender, but I don't know. That's way too hard to predict for me.
This is an easy question, guys. I don't know why I was struggling. This is super easy.
You're going to Boston?
Yeah, he's going to Boston.
Good luck, Andrew.
No, listen. Don Sweeney has an obsession with signing local boys. It is like his thing. Like, I mean, look at what we're paying Charlie Coyle. Like, no, he's coming to Boston for.
Please, for the love of God, don't get me started on Charlie Coyle for 3 weeks in a row.
Right. So my point is, he's got Massachusetts connections. Don Sweeney's going to see him available and just go absolutely nuts. Yeah, no, he's coming to Boston.
See,
do any of you bet? Because I'll put 20 on that. Like,
I think it's deeper than
that. Somebody that he's coming to Boston.
don't bet Andrew until you hear me out here. With Brandon Carlo re-signing that new contract and the press availability that he had, he came out and said that he wants to have an offensive-minded puck-moving defenseman to play alongside him. He would rather not be on a shutdown role. Well, the Bruins last year took away Matt Grzelcyk and moved him up with Charlie McAvoy. Mm-hmm. Well, now you have a hole on your second pair. You could put Keith Yandle in at, you know, $1 million a year because he's already making a fortune from the buyout and let him play on your second pair with Carlo. That solves a big problem. And then the Bruins don't need to go big fish hunting for Alec Martinez this offseason, in my opinion.
They still should. But yeah.
I would prefer Jamie Oleksiak over Alec Martinez just because of money.
I'll take anything that's not a traffic cone because that's what our decor was last season.
Don't worry, Kevin Miller.
Well, you guys have that pretty good lefty prospect, Jack Acoon.
Jack Ashon.
Saying that right.
Yeah.
Ashon. There
Jack
you go.
Jack Ashon. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. He should be a pretty talented player.
He's probably a couple years away.
Think so?
Yeah. He got a sniff, I think, right at the end of the season in Washington. The very last game of the season where the Bruins basically said, we're not playing anybody because we don't want Tom Wilson to murder us before we get into the playoffs.
Well, and you know, the thing is too, is like the Bruins need to go after guys like that because their window is still open. So long as Bergeron and Marchand are still going strong. Right. So
for now, it's closing quick.
Yeah. They still got a couple more kicks at the can though, I would think. Right. I mean, I know Bergeron's
contract is done after this year.
This coming year?
Coming season. After this season, it's done. He said that he'd be willing to go, you know, on a year-by-year basis, kind of like an evergreen deal. I don't know. Yeah. He's had a lot of miles on that body, whether it be with the Bruins and all the postseason runs, Team Canada, World Cup, etc. Almost similar to Jonathan Toews. Played a lot of hockey.
Good point. Really good point. You know, I mean, with that said, then I can see the Bruins being a player for a big name center in the free agency next season. To be honest with you, so you can maybe start sliding him down the lineup a little bit. You know, try to reduce his minutes. But as far as Yandle goes, here's an interesting thought. Both Montreal and Toronto are probably going to be looking for a cheap third pairing defenseman because Toronto is most likely going to lose Travis Dermott or they make talk about even I think it's Justin Hall. Losing one of those two in the expansion draft. And now the news out of Montreal is saying Shea Weber may not play again. Mm-hmm. He's that beat up. So they're going to have a hole to fill on defense. So I don't think Keith Yandle is going to be unemployed for very long, to be honest with you. I think there's going to be teams lining up to try to at least get a one or two-year deal out of him because really, if he's not all about the money, what's it going to hurt?
He plays every game.
I just don't. Yeah, exactly. Right. So I don't know. I think he does end up with a contender, though, and a contender that's going to need him for the cheap. But it'll be interesting to see where he ends up. So speaking of other buyouts, there was a couple out of Minnesota. And first one we'll go over is Ryan Suter. So, Connor, what do you think about Ryan Suter? Where does he end up?
To be honest with you, until the Shea Weber news came out, I would have put a bow on it that he was going to go and reunite with Shea Weber and be that dynamic duo again. Now that Weber's probably not going to play for the entire season, if not ever, I honestly don't know. I mean, he's probably going to want another kick at the can for a cup. Mm-hmm. So you're going to probably go with a contender. I would say Vegas or Colorado.
Islanders.
Interesting.
No, out of the pair, I think that's kind of where Parise is.
Suter going.
Parise is the sign, sealed, and delivered. They already tried to trade for him already.
Right.
But right. I have heard that the Barry Trotz connection from Nashville with Suter going there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, true. So I don't know. You know, I mean, people are kind of down on both Parise and Suter, right? And I get the Parise part, but Suter to me can still be a very, very serviceable third pair defenseman. I mean, you're not going to have him playing 20, 25 minutes a night anymore. That's not happening, right? But you got a guy who's got that kind of experience, that kind of talent. And if you can put him out there for, say, 12, 14 minutes a night, manage his minutes, maybe he gets a little bit of power play time, a little bit of penalty kill time. You know what? That's going to be a good signing for somebody. And it's not like somebody doesn't go bonkers and sign him for like 4 years. I'm telling you, I would actually like to see the Kings make a run at him. I would. On a 1 or 2 year deal to plug up that left side on the third pair, I don't think you're going to get much better because the Kings don't really have anybody on the left side that's ready yet outside of Cal Clegg, who they're probably going to lose in the expansion draft.
You're not happy with
that. I think Suter is even better than that. I think Suter could play probably 20 minutes a game right now still. For probably like 4 more years. I mean, look, he's always been that kind of defenseman that's just like there and you don't really notice him, but he's always making an impact. And I mentioned earlier today, if the Kings were to make a run at him, you sign him for 2 to 3 years at five mil a year, pair him on the second pair with Matt Roy, then you can move Tobias Bjornfoot down to the third pairing, eat up some minutes from Drew Doughty, and then you still got some serviceability out of Ryan Suter. I mean, that's some great leadership that a team's gonna gain right out of Suter. He's been forward captain. Right.
Yeah. $5 million a year.
Yeah, I'd give him that. Look, he's been a really good above a replacement player. Like in this past year, even he was really good on the power play, and I think. But the team that I can see him definitely going to, especially after today, with Ryan Graves being shipped out, is Colorado. I mean, that just makes a ton of sense. I mean, you slide him right in there on the top four on the left side. Easy.
I think Seth Jones sense. Is signed, sealed, delivered to Colorado.
I think so. They have a lot of right-handed shots already.
I think they're gonna blow it up and go all for it.
Well, you know, here's the problem with Colorado, though. All that cap space they had is suddenly going to be gone. Because Landeskog wants to get paid. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about that. They might be able to get Makar to take a bridge deal, but they're eventually going to have to pay him too. And don't forget, Grubauer is now a free agent. So those big three right there are going to eat up quite a bit of that cap space that they've got. Now, if Suter is going to be willing to take a minimal deal, sure, why not, right? But that's going to be the big question. Is somebody going to take the plunge and offer him $5 million a year like Russ just suggested? Or is somebody going to say, hey, man, we're a contender, but you got to take like, say, $1 million, $1.5 million to come play for us. What's he going to do?
And you're still making a ton from Minnesota in the buyout.
Yeah. And what I also think a lot of people are forgetting is when we look back on this, this is probably going to be the COVID era of hockey where players are going to have to take less because of the flat cap for the next few seasons. I think that's why we got that Brandon Carlo contract and everybody was wowed, because they just gave him a little extra term and kept that dollar amount down, and everybody's going to have to kind of follow suit. There's going to be no other options, or else you're going to be pushing Nugent people Hopkins out of the lineup. And yeah, Nugent Hopkins is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, that certainly helps the contenders out quite a bit, because you could say, you know, they could say to them, look, you want to try to win this cup. Sorry, pal, but you can't take top dollar. Right. So it'll be interesting to see on Suter. I think we can all agree that it's pretty much like you guys just said, signed, sealed, and delivered. Zach Parise to the Islanders. I mean, that's probably much of a lock as you're going to get, really. No doubt about it in my mind there. Another little rumor that's been going around, not little, quite a big rumor, I should say, is Mr. Jack Eichel has been the topic of conversation around the NHL for the, oh my God, what, past two, three, 4 months?
Yeah.
So he's been linked to quite a few teams, including both the Kings and the Bruins. So Connor and Andrew, what is your thoughts? Well, I guess you just answered my question. So no chance he goes to the Bees?
No, absolutely not. I mean, first off, no. Secondly, I would hope not. And third, I would lose my mind if it happened. Here's the deal. I have a very clear history on my feelings about this. First off, for the most part, now I've made an exception for Hall, but if you've played for Buffalo, I don't want you. If you can have that much loser in you, I'm all set. Secondly, sorry, I know. I shouldn't trash Buffalo on your podcast. I'm sorry to you guys, not to Buffalo. Buffalo, you're still awful. So if you're going to play there, then you clearly don't want to win anyways. Secondly, I literally live like 3 minutes from where he grew up. I get the Massachusetts connection. I get everybody being really excited about that. He just did a local news story saying he'd love to play for, you know, his hometown team.
Whether now or in the future, which was like, whoa.
Or never. But the problem is for me twofold. One, the loser factor. Two, the money.
Yeah, $10 million.
The Bruins would be absolutely dumb to take the finally breathing space they have from the Peter Chiarelli era, right? They finally have cap space to go and throw it on that. I would lose my mind.
What if they take Charlie Coyle back in the deal? I mean, he would never move his no movement clause that he somehow like pulled out some blackmail on Don Sweeney for, but I'm not as much of a hater. Pictures. I'm not a hater on Jack Eichel, but I don't think it's realistic for the Bruins. They don't have the pieces and necessarily the flexibility right now. But if the Bruins are to get him, it's going to be next year, because Jack Eichel, after this coming season, has a no move clause that kicks in where he gets full control. Mm-hmm. So I think if the Sabres do the Buffalo Sabres thing and screw this all up, then the Bruins could end up with the center of the future to replace the Bergeron era.
Yeah, that $10 million is tough. And you know what? The return that Buffalo wants is the tough part right there.
Yeah, the equivalent of four first-round picks, I think, is what they said. Yeah.
Well, I've got three from 2015 they can have.
I feel like I'm the only...
We want ours back. We'll give you Lucic back.
I feel like I'm the only person on the planet that wouldn't mind trading four first round picks for Jack Eichel. Is that fair to say?
The equivalent of it, Russ?
Yeah, or the equivalent of it. Yeah, I mean, obviously we're not trying to give up Quentin Byfield for him. I think that's pretty much been hammered into the ground. But
so are you giving up Turcotte?
This year's first round pick, the eighth overall pick, Turcotte, Kupari, and who else? Akil Thomas. I'm throwing them all out there.
I think he was the second, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, but I mean, like, people are acting like the Kings don't have like this plethora of prospects. Like, I keep hearing like, oh, we can't give away all these prospects for Jack Eichel. I'm like, okay, well, we have like 30 of them ready and waiting that we just got Victor Arvidsson, like you guys mentioned, for draft picks. We didn't have to give any up. I mean, you bring in Jack Eichel for all these prospects that we already have. We have the cap space. They have the room on the second line. They can slot him right there, move Quinton Byfield, or Gabe Vilardi would be part of the trade as well. Then that opens up that second line center, move Quinton Byfield down to the third line, and Andre Kopitar, Jack Eichel, and Quinton Byfield for down the middle for the next 3 or 4 years.
Don't forget sign about me up. Jared Anderson Dolan, guys.
Yeah, and Jared Anderson Dolan. Playoff team in the Pacific Division. Are you kidding me? Look at the Vancouver Canucks, look at the Seattle Kraken, look at Calgary and Edmonton. They're kind of all just like doing whatever right now. They don't really know what they're doing. Anaheim, San Jose.
That division is actually a mess now that you just rattled it off.
That's why I was saying, terrible. Connor, earlier, we're not that far from actually making a
playoff. No, the Kings could be that like dark horse team. If they made that Jack Eichel trade, that's an immediate improvement into the lineup. And I'm actually going to have an article coming out soon about my argument to go all in for Jack Eichel this year. And one of the few stats I found was his relative goal rate when he's on the ice is like would turn them into the 30th ranked team in the league in goals for to the 15th ranked team in the goal in goals for. So I don't really believe this notion that the Buffalo Sabres are a losing team with him on it. I mean, obviously they are. They were in last place, but look, I mean, they just signed. They gave $9 million to Jeff Skinner. I mean, they're pairing him with 1 year of Taylor Hall. I mean, it's not like they're giving him the best chance to win.
That was the most Buffalo of Buffalo contracts.
Wait. Let's be clear about two things, right? One, I actually agree. There's no doubt that Eichel is top tier talent, right? Like, I actually think it would be smart for the Kings to go after him. Like you said, there's enough, you have enough to give up. It makes sense. You have the cap space. And it's not that the team itself in Buffalo loses. It's just that it's a loser franchise, right? Like that franchise has just disappeared. I mean, but the Quebec Nordiques should come back by using the slot that Buffalo is in, and Buffalo should just lose the team.
Arizona.
Well, you know, though, up there. Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, it's a shame too because the fan base there is wonderful. They really are.
They're the best,
I mean,
the best fan base in all of hockey.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's a shame they're being tortured.
That's why they still get prime time time slots. Mm-hmm.
No, it's a shame they are torturing the poor people of Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Like that ownership should be tried for war crimes. Like. They just don't deserve, they don't deserve any. No, just take it away from them. Don't even give them money for it. Just literally take the franchise away from them and be like, you know what? You screwed it up so bad. We're sorry. Goodbye.
The NHL's version of eminent domain, right?
Yes, exactly.
The NHL did that in Arizona. They took over the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
I remember there's already precedent.
I remember when Pegula took over the team and he did this whole announcement on the ice and he did this whole presentation about how he's going to invest all this money into the team and they're going to be an immediate Stanley Cup contender in like 3 years. And it's just.
And then Milan Lucic came to town and destroyed Ryan Miller and it all fell off the wheels.
Oh, man. You know, Russ, you make a very, very interesting point with Eichel, though, because here's the thing. You know, the Kings have cap space now. And they've also going to have cap space going forward because Anze Kopitar's contract's going to be ending within a couple of years. Jonathan Quick's going to be off the book in a couple of years. Dustin Brown comes off the book after this season. So they are going to be a young team with tons of cap space. So, yes, I know Kopi makes $10 million a year. I know Doughty's at $11 million a year. But to be perfectly honest with you, with the kind of cap space they're going to have, they could absorb another $10 million cap hit like Jack Eichel has. And don't forget something else, too. Yes, the cap is flat now, and it might be next season, but that cap is going to start going up, and it's going to go up pretty good because with that TV money from ESPN and Turner starts kicking in, guess what? There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be happy because suddenly there's going to be breathing room, and the teams that can actually get through the waters now are going to really benefit in a 2, 3, 4 years, which is when the Kings should be start being contenders. So. You do make a good point, Russ. You really do.
I've made this argument, I think, on another episode, but I like to equivalate the Kings situation to an NFL team, and like the Kings are an NFL team on a really good with a really good rookie quarterback on a rookie contract. I mean, they're the LA Chargers of the NFL or the NHL. They have a really, they have a lot of good young talent with Quentin Byfield, all these good young players that are on rookie deals. So they have this cap space to use and utilize before those players are going to require that extra money needed in the future. So why not use that money now to bring in some superstar established talent?
Just absolutely. Saying. Absolutely. It's a good idea, actually. But as we all know, there's going to be people that would be vehemently opposed to that as well. So
I mean, you almost turn yourself into Toronto Maple Leafs West at that point with the three players over $10 million.
Yeah, yeah, but we're not 50. What could go wrong? It's wrong, Maple Leafs.
You're still not the Toronto Maple Leafs. You can't get me started. We can't go here.
Andrew is never going to talk to us again. Ever. But, you know, there is another interesting option that could possibly be available for that cap space for the Kings. And I was reading today that the Avalanche and Gabe Landeskog are still not close on a contract. Now, to be perfectly honest with you, I see them getting it done at the end. I can't see Landeskog leaving. But if he's that serious about testing the market and wanting to get paid, what would you guys think would be a fair contract for him?
I'm not 100% sure, but at the same token, for what it's worth, Adrian Dater, who is in Colorado and is one of their beat writers, about an hour ago, did tweet out that he's hearing things are more optimistic again on signing Landeskog. With his age, with his production, being the captain, so on, so on, but it's still the COVID era. I don't see him making more than $5.5 to $6 million a year. I don't think it's going to go past that. I mean, how could you even look Nathan MacKinnon in the eyes and say, hey, bud, I'm making more than you, and you probably score triple the points that I do?
That's true. He's at what, $6.8 million right now, I think, right? For an AAV, MacKinnon?
That McKinnon contract is so good. It's just so ridiculously good. So ridiculously good. But I mean, I think Landeskog is going to get more money. I don't see him going back to Colorado. I know he's a guy. He's the captain of the Avs. He wants to win, but I think some team's going to offer him $7 million, $8 million plus. I think that's going to happen. And I don't know. It just feels that way. That,
yeah, I think he's going to get 7 or 8.
That's what I was thinking too.
I think so. But I don't think it's going to be like 8 years, like what Hyman's asking for, which is ridiculous. But I think it'll be like more like 4 or 5 years. But
I'm asking for $8 million for 8 years. If anybody wants to give it to me,
exactly. I'm 29. I'm close to 30 years old. Give me 8 years. I'll be 38, making $8 million a year.
That's why I think his AAV is going to be between 5 and 6. I think in the long run, Colorado will give him the 7 to 8 years and lock him up super long term to bring that AAV down, just like Nugent Hopkins did in Edmonton.
Front load it
more term for less AAV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because
I think you're right.
They're out of their cup window 8 years from now, most likely.
I don't know, with that defense.
Yeah.
I mean, they also have to figure out getting rid of Nazem Kadri because he can't ever play in the playoffs without getting suspended.
You know, they should just put him on injured reserve for the playoffs. Just be done with it.
Just reverse lightning it.
Yeah, oh, that's great. That is great. Well, we're almost running out of time here, guys, but any other moves you guys foresee coming down the pike? Anybody? Just surprise us. And I'll start you off, because you guys got me thinking about that whole Detroit Red Wings thing. And I think, and this is just a wild, crazy prediction on my part, that Vegas is looking to unload Marc-Andre Fleury. And if there's somebody that can take that contract, it's Detroit. Detroit's loaded with prospects, loaded with picks. So I somehow, just it's a crazy notion on my part. Somehow, I think Marc-Andre Fleury ends up in Detroit, even if it's a part of like a three-way deal where he ends up being shipped off elsewhere. But
what about
that's Pittsburgh? My spite. Tell me. So, you know, that's interesting.
I don't see Detroit. They're not ready. They're still like 3 years away. It just doesn't make sense.
No, but what I'm saying is they can help facilitate that, right? So they can take on Fleury. Okay, we'll retain half the contract and then ship them off somewhere else to get even more assets back. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think it's a guarantee that Fleury is the one that moves.
Yeah, Leonard's the one.
The owner of the team has made it known publicly he prefers Marc-Andre Fleury to be a Golden Knight until he wants to retire because he's done so much for the organization, has a really good relationship there. And I actually heard some things kind of swirling around with Robin Lehner and the New Jersey Devils. The New Jersey Devils are looking to bring a really good veteran goaltender in who could do a 50-50 1A, 1B split with Mackenzie Blackwood and kind of be the mentor there. And they've got the cap space to absorb the whole thing. Wow. So that makes a lot of sense to me.
Wow, that's a good thought right there. I
heard that same I think TSN reported that today. But I'm going to throw another name out there that I may have heard a rumor. I'm not sure how much is going into it, but I think I heard Brock Besser's name came up. And if that's a player that's available, I'd move heaven and earth to bring him to the Kings. I mean, that's the prototypical like wing that they need on the first line, and he would fit right in with Kopitar. I mean, that's perfect.
Does his injury history scare you, though?
No, not at all.
No?
Okay. Yeah.
He's still young enough, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a Brandon Carlo with everybody with him and his injury history. He's had a lot of injuries, right, but he's still pretty young. So doesn't feel that bad when they're a younger player. But if you want to talk about injury history, I'll throw one into the pot. Vladimir Tarasenko.
There you go.
Feel like he's going to be destined for somewhere in Canada. They're going to send him far beyond and away.
It's got to be like Montreal or Toronto, right? I mean, or even Edmonton, someone that's going to be in the playoffs.
I think Calgary.
I mentioned that on our last pod. I mean, Tarasenko for Tkachuk just makes a ton of sense.
Definitely wouldn't be a one for one.
No.
But so I had somebody that I was talking to who's a player agent who has clients on the Blues. And what it boils down to is Tarasenko is the person who initiated wanting to leave the team. So he had three shoulder surgeries. The first two were by the team, facilitated by the team, and he still wasn't right. So he decided to go get a private doctor, and they found issues that none of the team docs and surgeons ever addressed. So they opened him back up, did the third surgery, corrected everything that wasn't corrected, and he had a clean bill of health, was 100% healthy, and was doing his rehab. And when he came back in the playoffs, he was playing really well in the playoffs. So the injury history doesn't really scare me after that. On top of, they're willing to retain $2.5 million of his salary and make him a $5 million player, or they have the RFA rights for Vince Dunn that they would attach as a sweetener if you'd be willing to take the whole contract.
Ooh.
And then on the opposite end with Calgary, there's been some mix about Matthew Tkachuk wanting out, not necessarily because he doesn't like playing there, but because of all the chaos in that organization over the last year and a half. And they also are looking to move on from Johnny Gaudreau or Sean Monahan. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different options that they could go with. And they're also going to probably expose Mark Giordano in the expansion draft. So if they can package him in a trade, there's just so many things at play there that make sense.
What a tournament that kid had over in Latvia.
Man,
Calgary just has they have no direction. I mean, I feel like they have all the talent there, but they just for some reason just can't put the pieces together. And I think it just all stems to goaltending. They just haven't been able to establish a true talent in net, and it's been tough.
Well, and you know what? The last time that the Blues and the Flames did a big trade, it involved guys like Brett Hull and Doug Gilmore. So just keep that in mind, too.
They're not afraid to make a splash, that's for sure. I mean, look at the Ryan O'Reilly trade, even though they fleeced Buffalo. But
that you call that a trade? Buffalo.
Oh, man. Well, listen, guys, we've been at it for about an hour here. This has been a lot of fun, but we're going to have to start wrapping up. Before we do, though, Andrew, Connor, tell us where you can find us on social media. And the podcast is on all major platforms, correct?
That is correct. Yep, we're on all major platforms. You can find the show Twitter account at PuckLinesPod. You can find me on Twitter at Andrew Taverna. Warning, lots of bad takes. So you get what you get if you choose to follow me. I'm a sarcastic loudmouth, and I'm not sorry.
Yeah, and I'm the opposite. I'm the hot take king, but you can find me at ConnorGreen777 on Twitter. And I'm always on there throwing some dumb, crazy hot takes and trade scenarios out there.
That's awesome. That is really awesome. Well, listen, you know, anybody out there who wants to follow these guys, do it, because it's a really fun Twitter follow, I'll tell you that. And give their pod a listen, too, because that is very fun as well. So, guys, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate you being here tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. We'll have to do this again sometime. It was so much fun.
We're always here.
Always available.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right. So that is going to bring our show to a close. Real fun one tonight. It was. That was a lot of fun. And I think it's one heck of a way to launch HockeyRoyalty.com. So I'm going to mention that name again, HockeyRoyalty.com. That's where you can find us now. And if you want to check out our hot takes and our analysis, that's where you got to go. So with that said, for Ryan Sykes, for Russell Morgan, I'm Scott Kimball. Thanks for listening, and go Kings go.